Normally inherited only by women, which allowed me to differentiate nuances of the color red I had never imagined before. I even had a cluster of snake-derived cells, pits spaced around the rim of my corneas, which were capable of registering near-infrared and ultraviolet, and which had grown neuronal connections back into my optic center, so that I processed the information as a visual overlay on my normal field of view, the way snakes do. But I had yet to activate the snake vision. Like all my faculties, it could be activated and suppressed by tailored retroviruses, triggering brief controlled cancers which erected or dismantled the necessary cellular structures in a matter of days. I needed time, though, to learn the proper use of each faculty. First, enhanced night vision, then later colors beyond normal sight. I pushed through the partition which divided the tent into Tanner's part, where our chess table was still set up, still displaying the checkmate I had won against him, as I always did. Tanner, naked but for a pair of khaki shorts, was kneeling down at the side of his bunk, like a man tying his shoes or examining a blister on his foot. "Tanner!" He looked up toward me, his hands engulfed in something black. A moan drifted from his mouth, and as my vision sharpened, I saw why. He had very little foot below the ankle, and what remained looked more like charcoal than human flesh, just as liable to shatter into black shards at the merest touch. Now I recognized the stink of incinerated human meat. He stopped moaning, quite suddenly, as if a subroutine in his mind had judged the gesture inessential to his immediate survival, cancelling the pain, and then he spoke with ridiculous calm and accuracy. "I'm hurt, quite badly, as you can probably see. I don't think I'm going to be much use to you. And then, what's wrong with your eyes?" A figure stepped through a gash in one wall. His night vision goggles hung around his neck, and the flashlight rigged to his gun played across us, coming to rest on my face. His camelioflage stammered towards compatibility with the interior. I blasted his guts open. "There's nothing wrong with my eyes," I said, when the afterimage of my weapon discharge had dissolved to a thumb-shaped pink bruise in my visual field. I stepped over the corpse of the attacker, carefully refraining from placing my unshod foot in the spreading entrails. I walked over to the rifle rack, pulled down a huge but currently superfluous bosonic beam weapon, too heavy to be used against enemy this close, and tossed it onto Tanner's bunk. "Nothing wrong with my eyes at all. Now use that as a crutch and start earning your pay. We'll get you a new foot if we get out of it, so just think of it as a temporary loss." Tanner looked from his wound to the gun and then back to the wound, as if weighing one against the other. Then I moved. I put my weight on the stock of the Bosa rifle and tried to put the pain into some sealed compartment at the back of my head. My foot was ruined, but what Kaweya said was right. I could live without it. The blast had done a very professional job of cauterization, and if I managed to survive the attack, obtaining a new foot would be a matter of a few weeks' discomfort. In terms of mortality, I had sustained worse injuries when I was a regular soldier fighting against the NCs, but my mind didn't see it that way. What it saw was that part of me was simply not there anymore, and it did not quite know how to process that absence. Light, hard and blue and artificial, impaled the tent. Two of the enemy, I had counted three before the dead one shot me, were still out there. Our tent was big enough that it might look as if we were a larger force than we really were, so the other two might be laying down a suppressing fire before moving in to mop up anyone they had not already taken out.